Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the show. It's me, Justin. We are back with another episode. You guys, what is that saying? They say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Hopefully y'all missed me this past week because there was no new episode. I feel like I'm all about like giving false promises because if you guys follow the podcast page, y'all saw new episode on Wednesday and then Wednesday came and went and no new episode was released. I feel so bad, but there is a reason. So obviously with everything that's been going on in the world, I just felt depressed. So I took a break from social media. I had an episode ready to go that should have came out, but I didn't even feel like editing that because everything that's going on in the world just put me in like a slump. But the good thing is that y'all are getting basically 3 hours of content this week, so that's a good thing. But I've been feeling a lot better, but we'll, you know, touch on my feelings a little bit later. But hope you guys are doing well. I'm doing a lot better. If you are new to the show, this podcast is all about bringing together different perspectives. I like having people who are different from me on the show because everything that we've been through in our lives informs our opinions, and better yet, it makes for great content. So thank you for being here. As always, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, feel free to subscribe. You know, ratings are for clout, so if you want to leave a rating as well, feel free to do that. It's not enough to tell me how much you love the show in my DMs. If you truly love the show, leave a review. Let me know what you think of the show. For those of you guys that are listening on Spotify, be sure to hit the following button. Tell a friend to tell a friend. If you have an Instagram, share it on your story. We love to see it. But yeah, it's a good week. It's a good episode. Steffi is joining us.
Yes! I've been waiting in the wings.
I know. Steffi is here. She is ready. Our series regular, as I like to call her. She is back for another episode. Hi, Steffi.
Hello, Justin. Hello, polar opposite listeners. It's me again.
Welcome back to the show, Steffi. I love having Steffi on the show because, as we were talking about earlier, Steffi is smart. Steffi likes to think before she gives an answer, but not this time. Not this time. For our main topic, we are going to be doing another round of unpopular opinions. And this time around, I did not prep my guest on what the topics will be. So we're going to get Steffi's raw opinions because even though she chooses her words wisely, I really want to understand the way Steffi thinks. Because
y'all
don't know, Steffi is very sweet, but there's a little shady side to Steffi that y'all have not seen, and I can't wait for the listeners to see that side of Steffi, and hopefully y'all get to see we should call your alter ego.
This is like a Beyonce, Sasha Fierce moment that we're having.
Yes, for sure. But it's a good episode. Steffi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be back. I'm excited to see what we will be discussing because, as Justin explained earlier, I have no idea where he's going with this episode. So this should be fun.
Yes, it will be. It will be. We'll definitely be thinking on this episode. But I guess we can get into off my chest, Steffi.
Justin's gotta get off his chest. You know he's gotta get off his chest. Justin's gotta get some fucking shit off his chest.
The thing I'd like to get off my chest this week is the recent passing of Chadwick Boseman. Devastating. I feel like I don't think anyone knew that he was sick. Mm-hmm. And when I got, well, because I have a Twitter and I was working on my computer and then I saw that I got a notification and then I didn't check right away, but then I looked and when I read that Chadwick Boseman, star of Black Panther, passes away, I like my brain could not register that information. I was like, what? I was in shock. Mm-hmm. But so obviously that's really sad. But I also think it's interesting too, like reflecting back on the previous, I feel like, couple years where people started to make fun of Chadwick Boseman's appearance.
Yeah.
That he was making in some carpets and interviews. And I remember some people also started to say too, because you know how like everybody loves to go up to Chad, well, they used to love going up to Chadwick and they would do the Wakanda sign. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, he would do it too whenever the camera would pan to him. But then like there were some times where he wasn't like so like
enthusiastic.
Like, yeah, like Wakanda forever. Like he was just kind of like doing the sign and people started. I remember like people used to make fun of him for being like, oh, he looks so tired. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. And it's like now we know. And it's just like you never know what people are going through.
So that's true.
Really upsetting.
His death was shocking to me as well. I remember a couple months ago, it was like I think during the early part of the coronavirus, he like posted a video and he looked much skinnier. And personally, I didn't think too much of it. I thought that he was losing weight for another role. So that's what I attributed it to. But a lot of people on social media were, of course, making jokes. And this is bringing me to something. It's like, stop judging people that you don't know. You don't know what people have going on behind the scenes. And then it's sad that it takes something like a shocking death to make people realize that, oh, maybe I shouldn't have made fun of that person. Oh, maybe I should have thought before, you know, said something or reacted on social media, because everybody wants to be retweeted. Everybody thinks they're so funny on social media. And then when something like this happens, you feel bad because of how you treated somebody. So I think this is a way for a lot of people to reflect on, you know, how they move throughout the world. And RIP to Chadwick Boseman and his family. What I need to get off my chest, Steffi, what are they doing with all the Black Lives Matter money that was donated? Where is all that money going? I would like to know.
I don't know.
My issue with all these big organizations that take money is that there's no transparency when it comes to what is actually being done with that money. The same thing happened with Hurricane Katrina and any other natural disaster. The Red Cross says, donate, donate, donate. But at the end of the day, we don't know what exactly they're doing with that money. I remember during Hurricane Katrina, there was reports that a lot of the money was not spent on stuff that was needed for the people that really needed relief. So it's like weird because all these celebrities there was like, oh, I'm donating $500,000. Or if a celebrity was like, I'm donating $1 million. It's very strange for somebody to donate that big amount of money and not be concerned with what exactly the money is going to be used for. You know what I mean? There's no transparency there. And I think that if it was me, either I would start my own foundation where I know exactly like how much of the money they're using and what specifically it's being used for. I want to know that my money is actually helping people, not people taking my money and acting as if they're doing charity when they're not.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally.
I just think that's wrong. Like, if they're not using the money for the proper things, that's wrong. And we need to know exactly what they're doing with that money, because I heard that, like, hundreds of millions of dollars was raised from all the Black Lives Matter stuff with the, you know, George Floyd fallout. So I'd really like to know, like, what are they doing with the money?
They haven't, like, any of those organizations, they haven't, like, posted a status update or anything since that time, or
I don't know, maybe they have and I haven't been following it, but I feel like there needs to be transparency with public donations like this. I don't know, it just makes sense. If I'm going to be donating to something, at least show me what you're using the money for. For Jacob Blake, are you starting a fund for his kids since their dad is now paralyzed and having to deal with that? Like, what exactly are you doing? And there needs to be more transparency with stuff like that. I'm not sure what people listening out there think, but I don't know. It just makes sense to me. So in the news, did you see the drama with J-Lo, Steffi?
You know, I do know that I think she had tweeted, and it was the same night that Chadwick Boseman passed, that her and A-Rod were outbidded in, right? Am I on the right path?
Yes, you are.
Were they like outbidded for ownership of the Mets?
Yes.
Right? Is that the thing? I saw it, but I didn't. And I saw some people started like getting mad, but I was just like, this is already like too much. Like, Chadwick's gone. I can't look at this. So I
know.
I logged off. So
Steffi knows I really don't like J-Lo that much. I really don't care for her at all. I don't think she's that great of a singer. She's not a good singer, in my opinion.
Y se quiere llevar los momentos más felices de la vida por los dos, por lo que siempre hemos sentido, por todo lo que vivimos, apresúrate, mi amor.
You know how sometimes with celebrities, you can kind of pinpoint who you would get along with and who you wouldn't gravitate towards? J-Lo is one of those celebrities that I don't see myself ever gravitating towards. I don't know her personally, obviously, but she just seems like somebody that's very, like, vain to me. And I don't know if she's vain or not, but her actions kind of, like, lean in that direction. So as Steffi said, apparently A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez were outbid for ownership of the New York Mets. And in a statement, Jennifer Lopez Instagrammed and she said, "Alex and I are so disappointed, ! We worked so hard the past 6 months with the dream of becoming the first minority couple and the first woman owner to buy her father's favorite Major League Baseball team with her own hard-earned money. We still haven't given up. Hashtag NY forever." And to me, this is just very... this is not the right time to be tweeting or to be like posting something like that amid all of the, you know, riots in the streets with what's going on with the protests and the NBA. Like, read the room. I think so many celebrities need to have like their publicists or somebody look over their social media before they post, because I think that this is so like ill-informed and it's very vain. Like, in the midst of all this that's going on in the country, all you're concerned about is you not being able to own a team. Like, that is ridiculous. I don't know what you think about that.
Oh yeah, that's like, it's definitely like champagne problems, like first world problems. It's like, yeah, like you said, there's so many things going on in the world right now, and especially during a pandemic, like there's a lot of people who are suffering under like really intense financial burdens right now. So for you to be like, "Oh, girl, me and my boyfriend, we just got outbid for owning a baseball team."
It's like, who cares?
People are gonna, like that. Yeah, it's like you said, read the room. People, what do you expect to come out of making a statement like that during these times?
Kim, people are dying.
My diamond earring came off in the ocean and it's gone. There's people that are dying.
Oh my gosh.
Kim, there are people that are dying. God. Like, literally, there's people that are dying, and Jennifer Lopez is just concerned with that. So I know I don't have really that big of a reason to not like her, but this is a big reason why I feel validated in my feelings toward J-Lo. But anyway, like, it is what it is. And it's funny because I looked on her Instagram before we got ready to record, and she deleted it. She deleted it. It's like, because I looked at the comments on the post and people were dragging her. They're like, J-Lo, boo-hoo. Nobody cares about this. It's like, read the room.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you get.
Yeah. But yeah, the last thing that I wanted to bring up is y'all's favorite R&B singer, Miss Adele, Miss Adele, Miss Adele. Yesterday, at the time of this recording, Adele decided to hop on Instagram and post an interesting picture of herself with Bantu knots in her hair, a Jamaican bikini.
What is this, honey?
Apparently, there was some, like, carnival festival that was happening in the UK. I think it was a throwback picture, maybe, that Adele posted, and she had Bantu knots, which everybody knows is a, like, an African hairstyle. A lot of people were dragging Adele for cultural appropriation. Steffi, is it cultural appropriation? Are people overreacting? Are people underreacting? What do you think of the controversy?
I mean, I could definitely, I could definitely see why people would be upset. But I have, okay, so I have a question because, like, I'm not in this, like, racial group whatsoever.
Right.
But
she's Filipino, guys.
Yeah, I'm Filipino.
She's not black.
Just, yeah, I'm not black and I'm not white, just in case by the sound of my voice. But, just to clarify that. But I was seeing on Twitter, like, you know, there's difference between, like, African Americans, and there's difference between, like, Africans, and there's also a difference between Black British culture. So I'm not, like, you know, I'm not quite sure, like, how the people over there feel about what Miss Adele is doing. I did read, like, because isn't this festival that she's celebrating, like, I'm not quite sure, is she, does she, like, live in an area that, that's, like, a thing that everyone celebrates over there? Like, that's,
to be honest, I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So, Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've seen different people's takes. Like, I've seen people be really upset, but I've also seen people be like, you guys, like, just don't know, like, how it is over here. So.
Mm-hmm. Cultural appropriation is cultural appropriation. And I think that just because the person that's appropriating is well-liked by everybody doesn't make the offense any less controversial. If Kim Kardashian had wore the same outfit with the same hairstyle, people would be raging on social media. Cultural appropriation. Cultural appropriation. Like, call a spade a spade. If Adele is doing the same thing, we need to call her out the same way. I'm somebody that I love Adele, but at the same time, if somebody that I love does something problematic, I'm going to call them on it. And I think that everybody should do it. Just because you love Adele doesn't mean that she gets a pass, you know?
Right, yeah.
That's just how I see it.
Maybe this could be like a learning moment for Adele.
Yeah.
But it's like you said too, it's like, I don't know, I feel like if I was a celebrity in the age of 2020 and like cancel culture and people like, you know, flooding the Instagram posts with comments, like I would like triple check with my publicist and be like, is this okay? Because I just feel like sometimes these celebrities, they just like post without thinking, and we don't live in that space anymore. So,
But should we also be more forgiving as well? Should we scrutinize them for every single mistake? Like, I think that sometimes as a society, especially with this day and age, every little thing gets over magnified and overblown.
Right.
Like, we called out J-Lo, rightfully so. I feel like she could have been more responsible with her platform given what's going on in the country. Read the room, and maybe that's not the best time to post that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we shouldn't be so, like, vehemently like aggressive towards them, and at the same time they should be more thoughtful of what they're doing given the big platforms that they do have.
Right. I think it's like kind of you're like walking that fine line between like you want to hold them accountable, but at the same time, like, I don't think that would that in that case it should constitute like burn her album.
Yeah.
Like, she should never flourish again. Yeah, like, just, it's, you know, not let her serious. Know exactly.
This week, it's been a while since I have done a round of unpopular opinions. Y'all know from time to time, I like to gather some interesting opinions from around the web, and I like to read them to get our opinions on whether or not we agree or disagree with their controversial take on a certain issue. So Steffi and I are going to read them, and then we will give our opinions and see if we agree or disagree. Steffi,
wow.
Are you ready?
So wait, I have a question. Where are you getting? Did you like get this from like a page, or like, were you like on social media kind of digging around?
Oh, it's a secret. I never reveal my sources. Oh, I never reveal my sources. We can't be given the goods. Are you crazy?
These are trade secrets. Okay.
Yeah. Are you crazy? We're not giving away the goods. Come on.
Oh my God. Okay.
This is an off pod conversation, Steffi.
Okay. This is an exclusive.
Exclusive, guys. So I'll go ahead and read the first one. Somebody said, quirky is an insult. Stop saying it while flirting.
What is it? Wait, what's the word?
Quirky.
How do you spell that?
Q-U-I-R-K-Y. Quirky.
Oh, quirky. I thought you were like twerking. Oh, I was twerking.
Okay. Now, twerking? Twerking is not an insult, guys. Come on.
Wait, okay.
Okay, so they said, quirky is an insult. Stop saying it while flirting. Don't call people quirky. It's just a socially acceptable way to tell somebody to their face that you think they're weird, but not weird enough that you wouldn't sleep with them. It's rude and annoying, and it needs to stop, especially when it's one of the first things you say to a person as you're just getting to know them. Don't masquerade your insults as compliments and expect people to be flattered. Okay, Steffi, do you agree or disagree with that hot take? It's quirky and insult.
I feel like I disagree personally, but I think it's maybe because, like, and I think a lot of this has to do with your personal definition or what you associate with the word quirky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I think quirky, like, I think, like Zooey Deschanel from New Girl, like Jess. Like, that's what I think of when I think of the word, like, oh, she's so quirky.
Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't be offended if some dude on a date was like, Steffi, you're quirky.
Well, I mean, like, maybe it also, I think, like, if they, like, said it in that tone, then I'd have to follow up with, well, what do you mean by that? But...
okay, if they didn't say it like...
Because there was, like, a... Because there was, like, a pregnant pause, and then Justin's voice went up, like, you're so... quirky. And I could, like, picture, like, a head tilt too.
Yes. Yes. Would you be offended if somebody in a normal tone was like, Steffi, I don't know, I can't put my finger on it, but you're quirky.
I feel like personally I probably wouldn't take that as an insult.
Okay.
I'd just be like, oh, they think I have like a fun, interesting personality.
Okay, so I'm gonna
that's what I would say.
Okay, interesting. So I'm gonna turn the tables on you, Steffi. If you were to describe me, like, sum me up in one word, what would that word be?
What if I was like, quirky?
No,
it's not quirky. I would say Justin is very bold. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind, and it's either you like take it or you leave it. That's what I would say. Justin is very bold and he like stands his ground. That's a compliment.
I would
say
that that's true. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. If I was to sum up Steffi in just one word, word would be pragmatic.
Yes, I could. I agree with that. I am pragmatic for sure.
I think Steffi is just a reasonable person. Not too high, not too low. Pragmatic would be the perfect word to, I think, sum up Steffi. And you would agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because for me, the reason why, and I think maybe I've become a bit more pragmatic as I've gotten older, and especially as online conversation, like call out culture has evolved, and with being like having a YouTube channel and having a podcast, I have to be very careful with what I say and how I say it. And not because I'm like trying to like strategize and be like manipulative in any way, but I think it's just out of
self-preservation in a way.
Yes, self-preservation, and also just like not wanting to be misunderstood.
Right, I love that. And for those of y'all that are like, pragmatic, what does that mean? Like, pragmatic, the definition, I pulled it up. It says, dealing with things sensibly and realistically in a way that is based on practical rather than theoretical considerations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right on the money. Okay.
Right there. Wait, but you didn't answer your question. Would you?
Oh.
Did you agree with the quirky? Like, if what are your thoughts on the word quirky?
I kind of agree with the person. I feel like quirky has a negative connotation. Like, you don't want to straight up call a person weird. So you're like, quirky sounds nice, but it doesn't sound too offensive. So I'm just going to call her quirky. Like, that's how I see it.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
But don't you think, like, there's like kind of this like unspoken rule that there are some cases where you use the word like, maybe it's not weird, but it might... And I don't think it's quirky, but it might be something else where you're like, that's like a cool kind of weird. But then there's also like a weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm like making any sense.
Like, you're crazy. Like, I don't. That's the like.
Like, there's definitely like some people that I'd be like, oh my gosh, she's so crazy. But it's like crazy in a good way.
Right.
And there's other people if I was like, ooh, they're crazy.
Like, right.
Get away.
Oh my goodness. So, yeah.
It might be one of those things.
Ooh, the next one, cyberbullying should be a chargeable criminal act. I'm not big on social media and never have been. I'm a healthcare worker and started speaking up early on about the dangers of COVID-19. I recently deleted my Facebook account after receiving horrible comments made to me. I cannot believe the things people say online that 90% of them would never say in person. I'm a grown-ass man and I can't imagine being a teen and having to go through all of this all the time. Should cyberbullying be a chargeable criminal act? Steffi, what do you think?
Wow. I mean, I like the idea of holding someone accountable. I would just like have like a follow-up question with how severe is like the charge gonna be, you know?
I mean, just like I guess a criminal offense, like maybe a misdemeanor, depending on the severity of it. I guess it'll range depending on how severe the bullying was.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, like, should cyberbullying be criminalized?
I think, yeah, I would, yeah.
Really?
I would say yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's a slippery slope. I'm going to disagree with you because I think that there is free speech in this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people say mean things to each other in person. So why would you criminalize that if we have free speech?
I just feel like when it comes to cyberbullying, maybe if they were to hold it as some sort of like criminal offense, that might act as a deterrent in engaging in cyberbullying.
But is it illegal to be a bully?
I don't know. But see, like, that's I think what makes cyberbullying a bit maybe cyberbullying would be like a bit easier to prove because you would have said like digital receipts in comparison to like, I don't know, with bullying you would have to, it would be like what, testimony, and if it was perhaps caught on tape.
Mm-hmm.
But then wouldn't some of the things that bully is doing constitute some sort of like criminal offense if they were to like assault someone?
Well, assault is different from like online attacks, wouldn't you say? Because you can bully somebody without physically harming them. But in this instance, I don't think physical harm is listed in here, because then I think that would just be plain assault rather than cyberbullying.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I don't know. If they were to hypothetically come up with a system to hold cyberbullying accountable on a like legal basis,
I don't know.
They would have to come up with some sort of like system in like proving that. I don't know.
But there's no, like, it's not illegal to be a mean person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how can you criminalize that? You are mean. Go to prison. Like, I think that's a slippery slope because we have free speech. And if somebody doesn't want to get bullied, don't they have the option to not be on social media or to block somebody? Why is it like the government's duty to get involved in what people are saying on the internet? Because people say mean things to each other in real life and nobody ever gets arrested. So shouldn't the same apply to the world of the internet?
Well, I guess it's like kind of like what you were saying earlier. It depends on like the severity of said bullying online. And then also like, what does the bullying do to the person on the receiving end?
Mm-hmm. Like if they committed suicide, then somebody has to be held responsible for that.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hmm. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if like, because hasn't there been some, well, I don't know. I might be talking out of my ass right now, but like I feel like I might have like read some stories, or I would not be surprised if like, let's say there was a situation where a teenager was bullied on social media and then they committed suicide, and then that teenager's family was like, you know, wanting someone to be held accountable in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. Remember in the previous episode, Steffi and I actually talked about this. My solution for holding people accountable on the internet is for all of these like social media services like Twitter and Instagram, as you are creating your account, you're putting in your name and your email, one of the things that you also have to do is scan your driver's license so they know exactly who is behind that account. That way, when a situation like cyberbullying arises and you bully somebody to the point where they decide to take their own life, somebody is held responsible. They know who exactly is behind that account, and somebody will have to answer for their behavior online. I think that's an extreme way, but I think that that's one way to limit bullying online. People will think before they say stuff online rather than just being reckless with no avatar and just saying anything and treating people anyhow just because there's nobody to hold them accountable for it.
Right. Yeah, and I think, like, you know, I think we, like, also kind of take for granted, too, that, like, the internet is still, like, a relatively new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's been, like, what? I don't know when, like, the internet was invented. Like, what? Like, late 90s?
Yeah,
mid-90s, early
2000s.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's still a like, this, we're still all trying to navigate how exactly do we live on the internet,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It'd be interesting, like, in 100 years, 200 years, if there is, if they're going to figure out some sort of way to, I don't know, legally navigate the space.
I put it out into the world.
Justin came out with the solution. So check Polar Opposites episode. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I'm dead. Okay. This one is a little bit more lighthearted in a way. Somebody said, grown adults who obsess over the Marvel films are equally as cringy as those adults who obsess over Disney or Harry Potter films. As an adult, it's okay to like or even love all these sorts of films, but it's the people who obsess about these films to the point that where their entire personality is their love of a specific franchise. Often it's women who get called out for their obsession of Harry Potter and Disney, but I see equal numbers of grown men and women obsessing over the Marvel movies to the point that it's their whole personality. Steffi, do you agree or disagree that grown adults who obsess over Marvel films are equally as cringy as people who obsess over Disney and Harry Potter films?
Cringy.
Yes.
That's the word that I'm like,
I don't know.
Cringy. Well, I mean, technically, Marvel is a Disney property, so.
Yes. Oh, that's true. Maybe let's change the word to annoying more than cringy. Because I feel like the Harry Potter people are annoying. I remember people in school, like, Expelliarmus, Rupsalaxa, whatever, casting their stupid little spells. I'm like, Harry Potter is not real. And I'll never forget, this is random and I hate going on tangents, but there was one time, me, my sister, my brother, we were all watching Harry Potter in the living room. One of my African aunties, who's super religious, comes to our house and she sees that we're watching Harry Potter. I hate the way I said it, like that, Harry Potter.
I know, I was like, Justin's, oh my God, Hermione Granger?
I don't know why my British accent came out for no reason. Anyway, so my African auntie comes to the house and she sees that we're watching Harry Potter and she's like, no, Harry Potter, no, this is witchcraft. I was like, witchcraft? Like, so she, my mom, like, was trying to compete, like, who's more religious than who? So she's like, this is witchcraft. Change the channel. So we had to change the channel just because this one aunt was like, this is witchcraft. This is demonic. It's a movie. Uh-huh. Like, these people are so annoying. But anyway, back to the point of point of what we were discussing. I always was annoyed growing up of these people that were obsessed with Harry Potter, that would talk about it 24/7 and would read the book and think they were so smart because the book was so thick. Like, who are you trying to impress? who are you trying to impress? And they would be casting spells, Expelliarmus, Rupsalaxa, whatever. It's like, get out of here. Get a grip. I don't know what you think.
So, like, do I think, like, they're annoying?
Yeah.
I think it's really cool when people are really passionate about something, but I think there's always that very fine line that you cross between, like, you know, being super passionate about it, but then that being, like, your entire existence wrapped around the said thing.
Uh-huh.
That's when I'm like, ooh, maybe you should, like, kind of
tone it down a little bit.
Tone it down. Find other interests. But yeah, because I mean, like, I have, like, tons of friends who were, like, super into, they're very, like, enthusiastic about certain, like, I don't know, things. Like, mm-hmm. I have two friends who are, like, really into Harry Potter, and they, like, their entire room isn't, like, Harry Potter. It's not like I walk into Hogwarts. But they do have a wand, though. They do have a wand.
Really?
I had another friend who, she had, like, the owl. I think the owl's name is Hedwig.
Mm-hmm.
Had the owl in her room, and, like, they did the whole thing of, like, you know, they camped out at night and, like, waited for the movie to come out.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But then when it gets to, like, you go inside the room and it's, like, all the posters are, like, all over their walls. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, they have, like, costumes and, like, their entire wardrobe is made up of just, like, the costumes. Like, then that's when I'm, like,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think you can like things, but try not to let it, like, consume your entire world, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. I think that people should love whatever they love, but I do think that Marvel fans are annoying. Like, I fell off on the Marvel movies. I used to be caught up with them. I used to see them in theaters, and then I just stopped caring. I don't know if it's me growing up and not caring. I never really obsessed over Harry Potter, and I was never a Disney kid either. Like, all these kids that I went to school with, they know all these Disney movies. I've never seen Dumbo. I've never seen Snow White. I still haven't even seen Lion King. Like, I've never seen any of that.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Wow, okay.
Never seen that. Wow. I was never a Disney kid. Not at all. So it's just weird that all these people know all these characters and stuff. Because in high school, I was the clock in Beauty and the Beast. And whenever it was...
Oh, you were Cogsworth?
I was. I killed it.
Oh my gosh.
I got a little Oscar nomination, so...
Oh, I like that.
So, yeah, I was the clock. And I remember when it was announced that we were doing that musical for the musical that year. Everybody's like, Beauty and the Beast. I was like, what is the hype? What is so good about that? And they would be singing the songs. Uh-huh. Like, what is one of the songs from there? Na 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 na. They would be singing these songs. I'm like, I don't know any of this, but the obsession is real. I wasn't part of that, but y'all love what you love. Just don't get too obsessed with it.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Love what you love, but don't let it consume you. I feel like for me, when it comes to Marvel, I think part of the reason why I'm not so like super into it is because I think a lot of like the fans, like this is my perception, is a lot of the fans around like Marvel are like super, super, like, I don't know, like, they're super, super protective of it. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, if you, like, give an opinion, and maybe it's, like, not the most popular opinion, they, like, they're, like, wow, like, it's, like, angry fanboys. It's, like, kind of, like, what I associate with, like, the superhero movies.
Yes.
Which is why I kind of, like, don't really, like, engage with that too much, but... Yeah. I mean, like Justin said, like what you like. So
yeah. Ooh, I'm interested to know what you'll think of this next one. So somebody said, ethnic and racial clubs on college campuses are toxic. They really only serve to further ostracize people. It's understandable why people still identify to certain racial or ethnic groups. However, at its core, it's a primitive social paradigm that only causes more problems than it solves. Identities that are racially blind are far more useful in connecting people to each other, regardless of ethnic or racial background. Do you agree or disagree that ethnic/racial clubs on college campuses are toxic?
Oh, I would disagree.
I would disagree, but there's a certain reason why I asked this question. There's always a caveat that I always have behind each thing that I have on the show. In college, I was in the African Student Association. I think that there is a place for groups like this to exist on college campuses, because I went to a PWI, which stands for predominantly white institution. And at my school, notoriously, there's 5% of us who are black. And that's a really low number. And I think that it can be isolating when you are one of a few like black people on your entire campus. So I think groups like these kind of like give people a family, a group of people who have similar backgrounds to connect to each other in some way, since sometimes they can feel disconnected on campus. So I do think that there's a place for organizations like this. And I agree with you that it's not toxic. What do you think? Or what are your thoughts?
I completely agree. I feel like if you belong to a minority group and you are in an environment where you really do feel like the minority, it does, you know, it is a positive thing when you find people who look like you, or you can like kind of relate due to similar cultural background. I don't think like that's like a, I don't think like that's a bad thing, but I do understand where it may, some people may think that it could potentially be toxic if like you're using that thing to like keep people out, or you're only, I wouldn't say that like you only want to associate with those people who are within your racial group. That's not like a bad thing, but... I don't know. I don't know how, like, how to articulate this, because I think, like, there's a very fine line where, like, that could also be potentially, it's like, you don't, well, I can't hang out with
no
people who are, like, not in the group. Yeah. that could be, like, that's also kind of, like, what?
Yeah.
But I, for the most part, I don't think, like, I don't think that that's, like, a quote-unquote, like, toxic thing.
Okay, so I agree with you on that one. But the reason why I asked this one specifically is because there is, like, Black Student Association, there's Asian Student Association, there's Filipino Student Association. Do you think that white people should also get to have their own association, White Student Association? Is that fair, and should they have one?
Oof. I mean, I personally feel like, no, they shouldn't have one. But
yeah, you gotta explain. Here we go. The diva is coming out, y'all.
Oh, God. Uh-oh. Okay, I feel like they shouldn't have that, because it's like you're in the majority. I mean, like, but then again, like, I'm basing it off of, like, my personal school experience, because every school that I went to, from, like, grade school to high school to college, it was, like, a predominantly white school.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm just, like, picturing, like, if I was walking on campus and then I saw
a sign
that in this predominantly white school, they suddenly instituted this, I don't know, like, White Student Association, that I'd be like, well, that's the entire school, like, pretty much.
Mm.
So I don't know. I feel like that would, I feel like it's, that's kind of unnecessary for me.
Really? But you don't think that white people are allowed to have camaraderie within their own social group?
Well, I mean, like, why can't you just, like, call it camaraderie? Like, why do you have to, like, define it as, like, the white camaraderie?
Well,
like, that, like, if I heard, like, the white camaraderie, I'd be like, oh my God, we need to, like, get out of here, like, right now. Yeah. Wouldn't you? I'd be scared.
I would too, because the thing is, what exactly are they discussing during this white student association meeting?
Yeah, that's a great point.
What are they talking about? I would like to know. Honestly, I would sneak into their meetings just to be a fly on the wall to see what exactly they're discussing during this white student association meeting, because we need to know. Inquiring minds need to know, okay? Oh my God.
Yeah, like, that's, yeah, I don't know, like, I don't know. I don't know what they could be discussing.
I think I'm gonna have to disagree with you there.
I
think that every group should have a club that, you know, instills a sense of pride within them. This is controversial because everybody knows that whenever the Black Lives Matter marches were happening, there was, you know, counter protesters that were saying white lives matter and all this stuff, and then it turns into a toxic place, which is like, what exactly are you celebrating? You know what I mean? But this is kind of a slippery slope question. Are white people not allowed to celebrate pride within their own culture?
But, like, oh my God, this is probably going to sound so mean, but, like, what is that? Like, what is, like, what is, like, white culture? Like, I mean, like, I get, like, if it's, like, maybe if, like, you're European and, like, you want to, like, celebrate, like, Irish culture or, like, French culture, but, like, when I hear the words, like, white culture, like,
you get tingles in your spine.
Yeah, like, I'm like, oh my God, the white camaraderie, like, join me, listeners, in running the other direction, because we are not wanted there. Like, that's, like, what I think of. So, Justin, if you would like to be the person brave enough to venture on the outskirts of said meeting of the white camaraderie, let us know how that goes,
because I'd
be running in the other direction.
It is a fair question, Steffi. Like, so that means that white people aren't allowed to celebrate themselves in any way. Only minorities and people who aren't white are allowed to celebrate pride within their own culture, right? If you're gonna say that white people shouldn't be celebrating that, is there atonement that needs to be done? Is that why, like, because white culture is riddled in so much controversy with colonization, with Jim Crow, that to celebrate that would be, in a way, an attack on minorities and people who have suffered at the hands of white people?
See, that's my thing. Because earlier, when I, like, truly was asking, like, what is white culture? Like, what are they exactly celebrating? It's, like, it's tied in exactly what you just said, because like, truly, I would question, like, what exactly, if you're celebrating white culture, like, what exactly are you celebrating about white culture? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that would be, yeah,
what
that would be
is
like,
this? What is there to celebrate?
That would be like my, yeah, that's, that, like, truly, like, listeners, let Justin know, like, if you can give an answer, what are you celebrating? Because if you, you know, if you learn, you know, read a couple pages in some history books, not looking so great. So what is there to celebrate?
Interesting.
And I think when it comes to like minority groups, part of the reason why they celebrate is to keep the culture alive. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So especially when you like go into different groups of different, you go into histories of different minority groups, like they've all kind of suffered in some way or another. So there's like, it's like, that's why there's that communal bond and like celebrating like, oh, like we're still here. But like with mm-hmm. white culture, I would truly just question like, what exactly about white culture are you celebrating? Like, what is that? Right. That's what I would ask.
Okay. Fair enough. But this is why we have the podcast, because I get to discuss complicated things like this, because when has anybody asked themselves whether or not white people are able to celebrate themselves if everybody else is able to celebrate themselves? And I think mm-hmm. that, you know, by answering or at least attempting to answer that question, people are thinking critically. And that's what I love about the show. And hopefully y'all are critically thinking, or maybe some of you are like, this show is stupid. But
like,
hopefully
they are
it's
reaching.
Not. Yeah, they're reaching right here. But hopefully y'all, like, think about it and y'all have conversations outside of the show about what y'all think about that issue. But definitely interesting. We can go on forever about that one.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. This one's a little bit tame. Let's see what you think of this one. Canceling plans because you don't feel like hanging out should not be taboo. I don't understand why when someone cancels plans, they have to have some huge reason like a death, a car accident, or hospitalization as to validate why they can't come through on hanging out. Being tired or just wanting to stay at home to have a fun day in for yourself should be justification enough. Steffi, do you agree or disagree that canceling plans because you don't feel like hanging out should not be taboo?
Oh my god. Okay. Well, like how close to canceling are we talking about? Is this like 5 minutes before we're supposed to meet, or if it's like a couple days before?
I feel like there's so many factors that go into play here.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors here.
The thing is, like, when I make plans with somebody and they tell me that they took off work to hang out with me, I would definitely try my best to make sure that I'm there, because that's messed up if somebody is willing to sacrifice their work schedule to make time for you.
And especially, like, I mean, I'm thinking of a previous time where it was me and two other friends, and I was driving from like Orange County to Chino Hills
mm-hmm.
at like around like 5 p.m. in the day, and like that is traffic, and I was like on my way there. It took me about like maybe an hour out, a little over an hour, and I was like kind of nearing the movie theater, and then my friend started texting like, oh, I don't think I can make it, I can't hang out, blah 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 blah. Like, I was I couldn't even answer because I was, you know, I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
But my other friend was kind of like, no, you have to show up, like we're like, it's happening in 15 minutes. So I feel like yeah, there's a lot of factors when it comes to this hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
Last
minute cancellations are trash though, because I don't know, especially if you're on your way or it's like a couple hours beforehand, I would be annoyed because it's like, I've been thinking about this all day. If we're going out to mm-hmm. eat, I've been starving myself, so I'm hungry for when we actually
yeah.
eat. And then you pull out at the last second. I think there's an air of consideration that needs to be made when stuff like this is planned and when they're carried out. Like, I think that like an 8-hour advance minimum notice is needed if you're going to cancel that same day. If it's any time after 8 hours, like, you have to show up. It has to be an emergency, a family yeah. emergency, a car accident, or something for you to not be able to show up. But at the same time, I feel like people are entitled to take time for themselves, because there's definitely been situations mm-hmm. where I schedule to hang out with somebody and then I take a nap and I wake up and realize that, oh, I made plans with somebody. I really do not feel like going, and I'm not, my mood is not right, and I really feel like canceling. And sometimes I feel like people should be able to cancel if they don't want to. But then again, it's like somebody else sacrificed time to make that happen, and then it's like a waste of time for them because they could have been doing anything else.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, I think it kind of, like, I feel like if anything, like, this question is an indication as to, you know, the state of said friendship.
Mm.
You know, like, if you're canceling last minute on someone that you say is a supposed friend of yours, or you're being canceled on, that's there's a follow-up conversation to that.
Yeah, I know.
To that.
Explain yourself.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
Okay.
It's about, like, respecting other people's time.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, like, for sure, like, I've been there before, too. It's like, I don't really want to go because I would much rather spend time with myself.
Well, you're an introvert, Steffi.
Yeah, I'm definitely an introvert.
Y'all would never tell by listening to this podcast. Y'all think that she's just loud and crazy. And, oh.
She's quirky.
Steffi is an introvert. And I find that interesting, too, because Steffi is has a great personality. And you would think that she's an extrovert, but she's actually, like, shy in real life, which is the complete mm-hmm. opposite of me, because I'm like, woo, yeah. Like, I'm, like, crazy, y'all. Like, y'all know that. I'm crazy. Like, so it's just interesting that Steffi can be this boisterous and this, like, full of personality on the show and on the podcast and with interacting with me. But in real life, it's like,
I'm, like, giving, like, a little, like, vocal whisper in the recording
booth.
Yeah,
some Janet.
Me. Yes, yeah, I'm like, ah.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Here's what somebody said. They said, if Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace, hid his health condition from studios planning franchises with him in mind, was it unethical on his part? What do you think?
Ooh,
is it unethical to know that you are terminally ill and sign with the franchise that has you in mind for multiple sequels down the line, but you know in your heart that you will not probably live, unfortunately, to see through that you fulfill your contractual obligations? Is that unethical to not disclose that you have, you know, stage 3 or stage 4 cancer to the studios that are trying to have you on as a main character to their huge franchise?
Oof, gosh. Ooh. Wow, that's a very controversial take. I mean, okay, on the one hand, as someone who studied production in school,
mm-hmm.
I get that argument, because, you know, insurance, like, and I think that was part of the reason why he didn't disclose, because if he would have disclosed, then insurance would have not been able to cover it, and then the projects would have not been able to go forward. Is that right?
I don't know. I just heard that he kept it private just to keep it out of the media, because some people don't want sympathy, or oh, you have stage 4 cancer, oh, fight hard, you will get through it. They just don't want that. They just want to, you know, right. battle it on
Look
their
the
own
work.
And just yeah. focus on the things that I right. can control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gosh, I mean, like, I understand that argument, but I think, I don't know, there's, like, a part of me that thinks, like, that's really, like, I don't know. That just feels really harsh.
To
look at it that way.
Yeah, it is. I think that...
Because, I mean, like I mean, because he's... for me personally, I think Chadwick Boseman's, like, a really great actor. I saw him in, like, some other things previously to Black Panther. And I don't know. Like, for me, I'm someone who likes biopics. And I think Chadwick has played a lot of iconic roles in his career, so I always thought that was kind of cool how he was playing all of these iconic Black people throughout, you know, his film career. But and you know, obviously because of that, I think he's really, really great. But I don't know, like, I feel like that's such a harsh way of looking at the situation.
Mm-hmm. But would you think that he should disclose that to the studio? Or does he have a right to keep that to himself?
Hmm. But see, like, if he would have disclosed it, then I think, like, they would have not been able to go forward with the project. So I think, like, from, like,
well,
if
how?
That's true,
how
I think he
work?
Was kind of... Because I don't think the insurance would have been able to cover it.
What,
and
do,
I
what
think
do you mean
from that,
the studio's insurance?
Yeah.
Well, why not,
each
though?
Film project, there's, like, like, I don't know. I honestly don't know if anyone can answer that. Please give us an explanation. But that's what I read.
Oh.
But... So, like, I think, like, his thinking was he was probably just, like, he was trying to think of, like, the, what is that saying? It's, like, do it for, not do it for the majority, but, like, doing it for, like, the greater good versus, like, thinking of himself. And maybe he thought, like, if I were to disclose this, then all these people, you know, they wouldn't be able to have a job in working on this production that they've greenlit now.
I don't know if that the logistics of it go that deep. I don't know if somebody is terminally ill, do they have an obligation to tell the studio that they are that sick before they decide to sign on with that actor? I would venture to say no, that they don't have an obligation to tell them. Reason being that does anybody have an obligation to tell anybody that they have an STI or STD? No. Is that different than stage 3 or stage 4 cancer? Yes. At what point is privacy more important than the studio's than the studio's wants and needs as a studio? I don't think that he should be obligated to tell them, but is it unethical to know that you're probably going to die before you film the rest of these movies and what that's going to do to production? Is that selfish or is that unethical, do you think?
I don't know, like, what is the life expectancy of someone who was diagnosed with, like, stage 3 or stage 4 cancer? I don't know. Like, I think it's just crazy that he was diagnosed in 2016 and he did all of that work in, you know, in his condition. Mm-hmm. And that was very demanding roles. Uh-huh. I don't know. It's kind of hard to look back in retrospect and think, like, oh, that was really selfish.
Well,
what
would you do, Steffi?
Like, the good that came out?
It's hard to answer. What do you think? What would you do? If you were that sick, would you tell the studio and let them know that there's a chance that you might not be able to live long enough to finish filming all these movies? Or would you keep it to yourself?
Knowing me, I feel like I would probably keep it to myself, honestly.
You know what? I thought about something. I thought about what if he thought that by telling them, like, early on, that they would go with somebody else in the role. It's like, oh, he has cancer. He's going to die soon. Let's go with somebody that we know is going to, like, be here to film all the movies. Maybe there's a level of that to it, too, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. That could be a thing as well. I don't know. Do you know of anyone who was, like... who they were thinking of casting as T'Challa?
There were a lot of people. If I go on the Wikipedia, I'm sure I can look at, like, the...
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Yeah. Not off the top of my head.
This is Technicolor tea.
Spilling the Technicolor tea.
Spill the Technicolor tea.
For those of y'all that don't know that inside joke, Steffi has a podcast called Diva Dailies, where one of her segments is Spilling the Technicolor Tea, where they go in and look at interesting fun facts about the movie that they're discussing for that week. Correct?
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. Listener of the podcast, clearly.
Yes.
But yeah, I do wonder, yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's also, like, you know, you don't want to speak on his behalf and think of, like, well, this is why he did it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like I was saying, it's just kind of hard in retrospect to be judgmental of him keeping that information to himself when you, like, look at, you know, all of the good that came out of, you know, his roles. Mm. Like, I mean, like, Black Panther, like, that alone, like, oh my God, look at the impact of that kind of movie. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, what do you guys think? You guys that are listening, like, what do you think? Is it unethical to know that you're probably going to die soon and you withhold that information from the studio that has you in mind for multiple sequels? Is that unethical to not tell them about your health status before signing you on to that project? What do you guys think? It is complicated given that Chadwick Boseman just passed away. And this example is not with Chadwick Boseman. It's just like any actor in general. Anybody who's sick, anybody who has a terminal illness, do they have an obligation to tell somebody before they go ahead and continue with that franchise? I'd be interested to know what you guys think. But I think I'll do one more, Steffi.
Okay.
Your significant other does not need to know the password to your phone just because you're a couple. Happened to a friend of mine who found his girlfriend would snoop through his phone and get pissed when he changed his password and demanded to know what it was. Do you think that your significant other should or should not know the password to your phone?
Should not know the password to the phone.
Why?
I just, for me, I feel like, I wouldn't want the password to my significant other's phone, nor would I want him to have the password to my phone.
What are you hiding?
Well, it's not like necessarily like you're hiding something, but I feel like there should be some things that you should be allowed to keep to yourself in a relationship. Now, what those things are, that's a completely different discussion. But it stems from, I mean, this all kind of like circles back to the idea of like trust in a relationship, right? Like, how much are you trusting what that person is doing when they're on their phone? And if you have to like be so like, I don't know, if you're already that paranoid to the point where you're like, I need to know your password and what you're doing on your phone at all times, like, I don't know, like, that's just like, for me, that just seems like that's a lot. I wouldn't want that.
I think that you should know the password to your significant other's...
like in case of emergency?
In case of emergency. Steffi already knows the way that I'm thinking. In case of emergency, I think that, as Steffi said, there has to be a layer of trust in any relationship. If you don't trust who I'm texting or who I'm talking to on my phone, you shouldn't be in a relationship because there's no trust there. But in the case of emergency, I do think that you should have your significant other's password just in case. Let's say there's a contact that you don't have in your phone that they have in their phone. You can quickly put in their password, find that contact, and call who you need to call to address that emergency. In cases like that, then I do think that you should, you know, have their password. Do I think that that gives you a license to start snooping? No, because I'm of the belief that if you go looking for something, you will surely find it. I remember when my mom growing up would come into my room looking for stuff, and when she went looking for something, she sure as hell found it. So if you don't if you don't want to start yelling, if you don't want to, you know, start all this drama, just don't come in my room. And if you don't want any drama to come into your life, just don't go snooping through their phone, because whatever you're looking for, you will surely find it. So that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, I would agree in case of, like, on that note with the emergency, I think on that instance, it's good to know. But I think if you start to, like, exploit said privileges of knowing the other person's password and you're just, like, going on here to say, oh, whose picture are they liking on? Like, that's just, that's, no. That's too
much. Yeah, that is too much.
But in case of emergency, yes, I can see that.
Yeah, that's it. There was one more that I was going to do.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah, I can do it. And then if I don't like it, I can cut it. let's see. This is the last one. It's not that juicy. Somebody said, I think that Netflix show should have a comment section. All right, guys, hear me out. When you are browsing through Netflix, the only thing that you can see to indicate the quality of a movie is a 5-star rating system, which can be very subjective and inaccurate. So instead of going on by blind choice, you can look in on the comment section to get a general idea of the reception of a show or said movie. Steffi, do you agree or disagree that the Netflix section should include a comment section?
God. I don't think so.
I say no. Just due to spoilers.
There's that. And then I just like also think too, like Netflix as a platform, like when it comes to their own original shows, like I'm just imagining them like potentially being shady and like deleting the bad comments.
I know.
Like, I just think that's just like opens up a Pandora's
for trolls.
Yeah.
For trolls. Because, you know, remember when Amy Schumer had that comedy special and it got, like, terrible, like, reviews and ratings on Netflix? Imagine if there was a comment section to go along with that. Because a lot of people, if you don't know, Amy Schumer is a comedian. A lot of people really hate her. And I really don't understand why there's this visceral reaction to Amy Schumer. A lot of people say she's not funny or whatever. All she does is talk about her vagina or whatever. But anyway, so she released a comedy special and it was panned by critics. So I think that a comment section would already add more to the toxicity that exists online in general. And I think that by not including one, it's actually better because we can just focus on the movies rather than what people are saying about the movies. Because I think often people look at reviews and comments to form their own opinions rather than, you know, reflecting and thinking about how they truly felt about the said movie.
I basically completely agree with everything you just said. And I'm just, like, thinking, too, like, in terms of, like, interface, like, how would that work on, like...
Yeah, I can see how it would work on your phone, because I have Netflix on my phone.
Yeah, I could see it on the phone, but, like, on the TV, I'm just like, ooh. Like,
too clunky.
That just doesn't seem, like, to work smoothly. No. I think, like, the thumbs up, thumbs down, or, like, the star rating, you know... It seems cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
To the point.
I will say, though, I don't believe that Netflix should have a comment section due to the reasons that we stated. But you know what does need a comment section? Podcast, okay? There should be a way for Apple Podcasts to utilize a method in which people can comment on an episode. If you thought something was funny, if you wanted to ask us a direct question, we can see all of those questions, you know, as creators and people who, you know, create content. I think that would be great, you know, feedback, and people can interact and say, oh, I thought this was funny, or what was the link to what he mentioned here? And it'd be more inclusive and it'd be more of a community than it is now. I guess that the version of comments that they have now is like by leaving a review. But it's not as interactive as I would like it to be, and I think that a comment section would add some fun and more interactiveness with podcasts. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, and then it's like that way it's like those comments are specific to said episode. And I also just feel like, I don't know, like I feel like some people think like leaving a review on iTunes, it's like so like out of the way to do, because it's like some people don't remember their login and all of that.
You don't even have to log in. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, if you download Apple Podcasts, all you have to do... Look at me plugging y'all. Yeah. Look at me leading y'all to the promised land. All you have to do is get into the Apple Podcast app, you know, go into your favorite podcast, scroll down a little bit, click the leave a review button, type in your review and click send, and that's it. You don't need to create an account. You don't need to do anything else. It's that easy. So if you guys would like to leave a review, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, scroll down a little bit, leave a rating. If you feel even more compelled, leave a review. Let me know what you think of the show. Truly, y'all don't know how much it makes me feel happy when I read a comment, if I read a review about what y'all think of the show. It makes me feel good. So let me know who you are, get in touch with the show, and rate it.
Yeah, look at that. That was a nice segue.
Ooh, we love that. That was a nice segue. We love that. What a perfect way to end the show. If you guys don't know, I should have said this in the beginning. Steffi is a frequent guest that I like to have on the show. She has a podcast. She has a YouTube channel. I'll let her plug herself for the people.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I have a YouTube channel. It's called In My Humble Opinion. That's like kind of more pop culture based. But then I also have a podcast, like Justin mentioned. I host a podcast called Diva Dailies, and it's a podcast where we deconstruct divas on film and TV. So we talk about people like Beyonce and Lady Gaga, and I'm trying to think, like, who are like maybe more recent ones.
J-Lo.
Done. Yeah, J-Lo. Full circle moment. Full circle right there. We talk a lot about, you know, really women in film and TV. But there's a couple of episodes there where we talk about the guys, too. But, it's fun. You can find us, Diva Dailies, on wherever you listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And
check
will...
me out. Oh, and then if you also want to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at INN_MHO if you want to redirect your... What was the thing that we were saying? Who were the people? The white
camaraderie.
The white camaraderies.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I'm going to name the episode White Camaraderie. People are going to be like, what does that even mean? Honestly, probably not going to do that because all of my episodes lately have been black this and white this. And
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah.
So probably not, but yeah. So yeah, I will leave links to Steffi's social media in the description of this episode. Steffi, this was fun. I hope you had fun on this episode.
Yes, I was honestly a little nervous, but we got through it. I survived.
Yes.
We survived. I thought this was a fun one for sure.
Yes, we love unpopular opinions. This is something that I'm going to be doing more on the show. Hopefully you guys like it. Let me know what y'all want to see more of on the show. Tell me who you like, who you don't like, who you want more of. A recent review that somebody left said that they like Steffi on the show, so...
Oh, good.
Poof. The more good feedback that I have, the more I'll keep bringing back your favorite guests. So honestly, thank you guys for listening. I know every single week I say it, but it truly does mean a lot that anybody cares about what I have to say. I'm just a black guy from Texas just saying whatever I want each week. And the fact that y'all like it enough to listen to it every week means so much to me. So thank you for that. As always, if you know somebody that is interested in podcasts, share the show with a friend. Share it on your Instagram. It's not enough to love it. Share it with the world, please. So with that being said, y'all have a good rest of your week. Try to limit your social media because it can be dark for a lot of us. But I wish y'all the best. Y'all stay safe. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Cover your mouth because Corona is still out there. Y'all have a good rest of your week. And as always, I'll catch you guys on the next one.